comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome, whoever you are, and wherever you happen to be around this beautiful planet. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, and I think you're going to be delighted to be here this evening. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter, and we try to bring you interesting and important information. We try to do that every night. And last night, I think that's what we did. I think tonight, that's what we'll do again. The K-Files goes out tonight. Tonight's K-Files night. And that's important because our K-Files, of course, is our free weekly newsletter. It goes out every Friday night right after the show. And invite you, if you haven't subscribed, be sure you do subscribe, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to, you know, so there's really no reason not to do that. Just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you will see where it says K-Files. Just click on that and take care of subscribing, and then you'll get this week's edition, okay? Now, as a result of last night's show, I got emails, as I suspected I would, on both sides of the fence. And I have to say that the people who called into the show last night and the emails I received were all very civil. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You can ask anything you want to ask. But especially when we have a controversial show like we did last night, a controversial topic or a controversial guest, it's especially important for us to work at keeping it civil and not letting our emotions run away with us. And you did fabulously. And or as Ricardo Montalban used to say, and I'll put my own variation to it, you did marvelous. So, I know I don't do Ricardo Montalban very good, but anyway, it enables us to be able to really get into and hear and think about and talk about some of the really hairy issues in the world of UFOs and paranormal. Being civil does. And then we all have the opportunity then to learn a great deal more and come out of it with a more informed view, perhaps opinion, of what it's all about. Tonight, Walter Bosley is going to join me. You know, one of the things that is true about Walter is that he is a remote viewer. And I've given Walter this remote viewing target. Those of you that are remote viewers may want to write that down and just quickly do a cursory remote viewing and see what you get. It is, for those who are on the radio, it is 6237/4109. We'll return right after this. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is no stranger to the Kevin Smith Show audience. My guest is Walter Bosley. Walter, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back on.
You know, a lot of the times when we have you on, we talk with you in terms of your background, you know, as counterintelligence, and we talk to you in terms of looking at things from that perspective. But at least one time we've had you on talking about your work as a remote viewer, and that is the focus tonight. Before we get into your remote viewing sessions that you did, I want to again invite those who are remote viewers to take a look, a remote look at the target, and we'll just see what they come up with as well. The target is 6237/4109. Now, the way it works, I'll tell you. Let's just explain the way that works, so that folks in the audience who are not remote viewers will understand what's going on. So, I emailed to you that series of numbers, and that's all that was in the email. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as a remote viewer, what do those numbers mean to you? What do you do with them?
Well, they represent a cue for a target, and when you do it with numbers, it's a blind cue, essentially a blind cue. I have no idea what you, the person who came up with the cue, have associated with these numbers. All I do is write the numbers down as a set in the manner in which you sent them to me, and which is basically the two four-digit numbers with a slash backslash between them. And then I go through the protocol that I have been using, and I like to qualify that because I have not been using the full traditional protocol in the way I was taught. I've been using that which seems to work for me. And then if I need to go deeper into that particular target, I just repeat that on certain aspects of the target. So I pretty much do what I do the first pass on one sheet, and then, you know, if I need to draw more out, I just do another one of these one sheet things. And other remote viewers are probably screaming and yelling and or just writing me off and saying, "Oh, that guy." But you know, my personal feeling is this falls in the realm of psychic abilities, and you know, we all do them. You know, some aspects uniquely our own way, what works for us. And, you know, my way works for me. It might not work for someone else.
Okay. Now, when someone who is not a remote viewer sees these numbers or hears me read them, they may be asking themselves, well, okay, I understand you're giving him these numbers, but what are they? What does it mean? And the fact is, it doesn't mean anything. They are not map coordinates, although I could have used map coordinates. They are not map coordinates. They are randomly selected numbers that I just drew out of the air and associated with a thing I want remote viewed. And how do I associate it? Well, I wrote it on a piece of paper and put those numbers right beneath what I wrote on that piece of paper. And I put the piece of paper in an envelope, and I wrote the numbers on the outside of the envelope. So before we get to this topic, I mean this target, have you done some remote viewing on some other targets that you could tell us about, something that was, you know, that really hit the bullseye?
Oh, yeah. Now, these are things that I've, on things I've personally found. For instance, I did a remote viewing on a blind target number for an associate once, and what I ended up getting was an object that I subsequently found in a city nearby where I live. Now, ostensibly, I was viewing something else entirely, and I got this shape, this object that came through, this particular shape, and a few weeks later, I found myself in a part of this other town that I'd never been in, and turned a corner, and there it was, 30 feet tall, this object. And that's a case of getting something that unexpectedly, wow, is you're viewing before you experience something, an actual object that you find. And I got the pretty much the exact shape of it. Now, in other times, people, in doing a little test, a little demonstration, people have taken objects and associated the number with them, and I have, I've pretty much drawn a picture of that object that they associated with it, and that's on a small level. An individual who you know, and I think your listeners know, Jeff Harvey, he once had me view a target, and several other people were viewing it, and it was on some mysterious object that was under the ice in Greenland, I believe. And we all came to, it was very interesting, we came to very similar conclusions about the shape of it and you know, its physical being, even though we differed personally on a little bit on what its origin was. So it really depends a lot of times on I'm somebody who I will often, and I admit it, I will often get side things like what you were doing when I viewed it, or if there's an object, if you're having me view an object, I will often describe everything physically around that object but the object. It's kind of, I laugh about it a little bit. It's kind of annoying sometimes, but it has its applications. For instance, if you're looking for that object, you know, that's what I'm good for. And but there's variances each time I do it, you know, in a way. It's but I do get something usually that convinces the person that, you know, this stuff's real.
All right, now this is not a skill that you learned and used when you were a U.S. Air Force OSI special agent. Am I correct?
You know what? You're going to have to repeat that.
This is not a skill that you used or that you were even trained in when you were in the U.S. Air Force OSI.
That is correct. I did not learn how to do this until the late summer of 2007. I was provided the materials, the discs, to learn the protocols from Jeff Harvey. And I actually didn't have, for some reason, just didn't have the mode. I received them in April or May of that year, and I didn't really sit down to do them until August. And it, when I did do them, I was astonished at how well I did. I truly was. It's, you know me, I've talked about my experiences and such, and I've told you about experience. I haven't talked on the air, and I got to tell you, this remote viewing thing is one of the few that really, really impressed me immediately.
Well, I think I told you this, and I know I've shared it on the air, but one of our listeners provided me with the set of DVDs from Ed Dames that train you in remote viewing, and I was very glad to get them. I did the first session, and are you familiar with that set of DVDs?
Those are the ones I was sent.
Okay, I did that first session, and you know, at the end of that first DVD, he has you do your first remote viewing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I nailed it.
Yes.
And there are people who have disagreed with me and said, well, I always say, I nailed it, and it scared me. And they say, oh, no, you weren't scared. Well, yeah, oh, yeah, I was, too, because I nailed it. And I mean, I really nailed it. And to the point that I actually bilocated, which means that for a flash, for just a brief second, I was actually in the field, and I won't say anything else about that.
Mm-hmm.
But for a split second, I was there, and I looked around, I saw, I smelled what it smelled like, I felt wind blowing, and then I was back. And I got to tell you, that scared me. Have you ever had bilocation happen to you?
Yeah, in fact, to be honest, some of the phenomena that I've experienced, since starting to remote view in connection with remote viewing, are actually things I'm very familiar with. So I realize that I'm kind of able to do it. I think anyone who's able to do it probably is predisposed to being able to do it because they're already having certain experiences. But yes, that is something that really I think is integral to how the whole thing works, because you are throwing your consciousness to another physical place, literally. You're tapping into that ether or whatever it is, and I'll tell you, this is why it's a whole lot more interesting than flying saucers, I can tell you that.
Beats checkers on Saturday afternoon, doesn't it? It beats checkers on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. It's really, this is something that has made it, I was a believer from the get-go.
Okay. Now, you've had a chance to remote view this target. Were you able to come up with anything, or did you come up blank?
With the target you gave me?
Yeah.
What I came up with was, this was very interesting, I was delayed in actually doing it, just from the certain administrivia of life kept me from doing this evening before the show, and I did it twice, because I told you I wanted to do it two or three times, and I did do it twice, and I think I might have come up with a peripheral activity on your part. Because when I did the first session at around 5 o'clock, I essentially got some food items.
At 5 o'clock?
Around 5 o'clock.
I guess,
somewhere.
Just be sure you speak directly into your phone, because you fade away every once in a while. I honestly can't say. Maybe I was eating. I don't know.
Well, I specifically got something crunchy, chips or pickles. And you know what? I got to tell you, when you do this stuff, sometimes you get the most mundane information. Probably about a little over an hour ago, I got some type of brewed, hot, I'm guessing, beverage, and my guess was coffee.
Well, that would be correct. Yeah.
So that's an example of very mundane information. And my guess was, because of my past experience with this, is that, okay, somewhere around 5, you had dinner, you were eating or something, and somewhere around an hour ago, you probably had a cup of coffee. And there's the hell of it. It's not always the most amazing, most startling information. It's pretty much, it's an objective ability. If someone's just sitting there clipping their toenails, you're going to get that. It's not always profound.
Okay. Were you able to come up with anything else?
That was pretty much it. When you look at, there's always the something else. There's always the little elements. I kept getting, for instance, the second time I did it, a little over an hour ago, I kept getting a liquid. I got wet. I got something rippled. I was thinking of it as water. I got the colors black. I got the color dark blue, silver, green. And then, I'm thinking, well, if it was coffee, maybe there's something on the container, the mug, that's either blue, silver, or green. or on the label of the particular coffee you drink, maybe there were these colors, dark blue, silver, or green. You know, those are the kind of things you ask when you get colors. You know, what are the colors associated, you know, with this? You know, before that, I got the one where I picked up the food. I got the colors white, I got orange, I got the like kind of a creamy smell, maybe the taste of eggs. I got an acidic taste like vinegar. You know, these are the little things that go into, you know, your ultimate picture that you do. It can seem very inexact and like, what the heck is this? Until you have someone do this for you and you look at their process and yet they've nailed something. To give an example, if, for instance, I mentioned dark blue, silver, and green. Now, if you were to say, oh my gosh, Walter, the mug I drink out of is a green mug with silver marks on it, you know, and the coffee label is dark blue. Well, that's considered a hit. Okay, that would be considered a hit, because out of all the spectrum of colors, I could have said orange, I could have said brown, I could have said yellow, I could have said white, but I said dark blue, silver, and green, and if it were the case that dark blue was the color of your mug and silver and green was on it, you see, that's a hit. That's why it's a hit, because out of all the colors, I picked the ones that were associated with your target. And it's not, some people say, well, that's a numbers thing, or it's a lucky guess. No. it's really, if you were to learn the process, that's where you realize how impressive it is.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to tell you yet.
Okay.
Whether you got it or didn't get it. Okay. I'm not going to, but I want to explain to folks that this is not a test to see if Walter can do this. Okay. What this is a little exercise so that you can kind of see how this is done. Of course, if you want to do remote viewing, you really need to take the courses in it and learn. But, I mean, this is a cursory kind of thing to show you how it's done. And some of you out in the audience around the world are remote viewers. And I hope that you have, those who are, have been looking at this target, because when we come back, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to hear from some of our remote viewers. Don't let me down. I want to know what you think, what you saw, and we'll put all this together in a little bit. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening, Walter Bosley. And what we're doing is what we're attempting to do, and I hope you participate in this. We're attempting to get our audience to join with us, those of you who are remote viewers, join with us in taking a look at a target, okay? And the target is a series of numbers. The numbers are 6237/4109. Take a look at that target. Now, I'm going to go ahead. It's not open line, folks. I'm going to open the telephone lines for those who are remote viewers. I know you haven't had much time, but take a look at it. And sketch down whatever comes to you, and then join us by calling the studio and share with us what you got, okay? The telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. And I know we have some remote viewers out there, and I want you to help me look at this. This is not a trivial thing. It's for real, and we would be interested in knowing what you got, okay? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Tracy from Canada.
Hi, Tracy. Are you... What in the world is that? Okay. Tracy, are you a remote viewer?
I am.
Okay. You want to share with us what you got from this target?
I saw movement and red and could be a car.
Okay. All righty then.
Okay, just wanted to say hi. I'll wait and listen.
Okay, thanks, Tracy. All right, if we have some more remote viewers, give us a call, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. And if you've got some impressions about what this is, give us a call. I would have to say that so far, Walter and Tracy, I would say, are both hits, but it's not a car. And you may have some other impressions about it that can fill in some more details for us. Okay? And let me give the number again, and then we're going to move on. So if you're going to call, you need to call, because we're going to move on. 623-444-5889 is the main number, and the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Francois from Montreal.
Francois. You want to tell us what you get from this remote viewing?
I'm not a remote viewer, but strangely, I fell asleep listening to the start of your show when you're talking with Walter, and I had a short dream about a police officer or army officer and a badge. The badge was like a 12-star, more like round than a star, and it was like over the... It was raising over the pocket thing to put in, you know. But I guess I'm wrong, and it's just like a weird little dream I had.
Okay. Well, it might play a role. We'll see. Thank you, Francois.
Okay. Good night.
All right. All right. There's still time if we have another remote viewer that wants to give us a call. Give us some help with this. And I think a lot of folks are going to be a little bit surprised when we put this together. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Walter, when you do remote viewing, do you some remote viewers actually will do sketches and draw things that they're seeing. Do you do that?
Do I?
Uh-huh.
Yes. In fact, if you'll look, when you look at the copies, the scans of what I did, absolutely, drawings are an essential part. As a matter of fact, one thing that I had not mentioned when we were talking about it before is one of the aspects I got of this was something coiled or sprung, like a spring or curled, and as you can see on the sheet, when you open that email, that is a feature that is very much part of what I was picking up. And what's interesting is the first one you do in the S1 phase is kind of almost like an automatic writing thing. You just let your hand do whatever it's going to do. And oddly enough, by the time you get through the process, that something in that shape is a part of your ultimate drawing. It's very interesting.
Something coiled or sprung.
Something coiled or sprung, yes.
Now, kind of describe for us what you were seeing. I mean, when you say coiled or sprung, describe that a little bit more for us.
Basically, what I got was the dimension of it was something that is coiled like a spring. And then I also put down, possibly curled. curled, which is why I did, you know, a curly Q type of shape. But and because I said I associated it with food, one of the things I thought of is when you use one of those old-fashioned apple peelers that you kind of spin the thing around and the apple peel comes off in a coil.
Mm-hmm.
An orange, you can peel an orange. Some people do it with a knife. And so, that was a possibility. Sometimes they do this with potatoes, and then they fry them up,
mm-hmm.
like French fries, but in this coil shape. And that's, to give you an idea, that's kind of one of the things that went through my mind.
Okay. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Mary, and I'm calling from Illinois.
Hello, Mary. Are you a remote viewer?
I have had episodes of remote viewing, but I've never trained for it.
Okay. Do you have any impressions about this target?
I keep seeing a restaurant with lots of tables. It's not necessarily a dining room, but it's more like a restaurant with many tables, many chairs. I see blues. They're bright colors, blues, reds, yellows.
Okay, I'm writing this as you're speaking, so blues, reds, and yellows.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Mary, thanks much.
All right, thank you.
All right. Okay, now, when you see something, for instance, coiled, do you get an impression of the size of it?
Of the what of it?
The size. How big is it?
Size. That's the interesting thing. My main impression of the size is probably about, if you're talking radius, probably about 2 to 3 inches is my initial impression. I do recognize it could be like as small as the spring in a pen, you know, an ink
mm-hmm.
that you click, or it could be as big as a slinky. But my impression is that it's probably about the if you take something of the diameter of an average apple or orange or potato, that, you know, so we're talking about a radius of about 2 to 3 inches, is my impression.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Kathy from Las Vegas. I enjoy your show tremendously.
Thank you, Kathy.
I am a remote viewer, but I didn't actually do a session, but I tried to psychically connect with it,
mm-hmm.
and I got a definite spoon-type shape with a straight, and then at the bottom there was like a round movement type, like a spoon. And my boyfriend is also a remote viewer, and he suggested that it was the NASA symbol with the red and the yellow and the blue. So that's what we got.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call.
It was fun. Enjoyed it.
All right. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599, and we will we'll take one or two more. If you are a remote viewer, if you have an impression about this, give us a call. And what we're going to do after the next break is unveil what it is, okay? And we'll talk about how some of these seem possibly to fit. And maybe, in fact, some of them really fit well. Let me give the target again. Here's the target. The target is 6237/4109, and if you've taken a look at this as a remote viewer, then we want to hear what you saw. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Karen from Colorado.
Okay, Karen.
Okay, I'm kind of a remote viewer wannabe.
Okay.
But what the impression that came, I mean, it was not in little pieces or segments. in true remote viewing form, but what I immediately saw was a teacup and a teapot with steam coming up and swirling about, and ornate, adorned.
Teapot with the steam swirling?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks much. All right. If you call right now, folks, we have time to take one more call before this next break, and then we're going to open this. This envelope, we're going to open it, and I'll show you what it is. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stuart from Illinois.
Stuart, okay.
My first impression was your broken coffee mug.
Broken coffee mug. Okay. And did you have any other descriptions to go with it?
Just a spillage on the floor, or wherever it landed, which I'm assuming it was the floor.
Okay. Okay, Stuart, thanks much. Bye-bye. All right. Now, what we're going to do, this is not exactly how remote viewing is supposed to work, folks. But it's working. I didn't give you much time. And those of you who are remote viewers know that I didn't give you enough time to really do a remote viewing session. So you're just getting quick impressions, quick snippets. Amazingly, a lot of these fit with what this is, and we're going to talk about what it is and how in remote viewing you have to put things together after you do these sessions. We'll be back right after this. Okay, the time has come, and I thank everyone who called in and shared with us. And now, what you get when you do a remote viewing session, you can do it by yourself, but usually professional remote viewing is done with a group of people, and they all get different impressions and different information, and they write it down, and some of the information will be the same as somebody else got, and so that moves that information higher on the probability list. And so what you have to do is you have to sort through what everybody says, what everybody's written down, and then kind of piece it together as you would a puzzle, and try to get a picture, a high probability picture of what it is that's been viewed. Now, here is the envelope, and Walter, are you ready for me to open the envelope?
Yeah, tell me how far off I was so we can all laugh at me.
Not far at all. Got to do a little drum roll. All right, here we go. And there it is. It's the BP oil spill. Now, you might say, oh, man, that's so far off. Now, let's think about that. Walter said it was wet, water, black, silver, green, dark blue ripples with something coiled. Now, for those of you who are watching on our TV channel, if you will just pay attention to your screen for a minute, and I'll describe for our radio audience what you're seeing. What you are going to see is the BP oil spill. And I'm looking at blue water, and I'm looking at black oil coming out of, and you also said there was something coiled, and we have this casing, this pipe, coiled up at the bottom of the ocean with oil gushing out of it. And, of course, the movement of the oil, we see ripples. So I call that a hit. Now, on size, you got it wrong. Size is a little bigger than a Slinky. But wet water, black, silver, green, dark blue, we're looking at blue water here. And there is another pipe there that we can see that is either yellow or green, and it's hard to tell because this is an underwater camera and the colors are not exact. Okay, now Tracy in California got movement, red, and she thought it might be a car. Well, if you remember, whenever this blew up, there were people, 11 people, that died. And so you had a lot of movement from the explosion, and you had obviously red, not only from the injuries, but also from the boiling fire that was coming up. Now, Francois saw a police badge, or perhaps military. And, you know, I don't know about that, except that certainly there were some of the firefighting boats that came. Perhaps people were wearing badges. I don't know.
Kevin, what about the shape of the BP company shield? That can sometimes be very similar to some type of badge, actually.
Well, I'm not familiar with it. So, but if it's a shield, then there you go. That's in the shape of a badge. Mary in Illinois saw a restaurant with tables and chairs, blues, reds, and yellows. I don't know. What do you think about the connection with a restaurant and tables and chairs? Do you see a connection?
Well, I got food. Somebody eating, somebody drinking coffee, and she got, you know, restaurant and chairs. Maybe people that are displaced, maybe, you know, the people that were on the rig, they're displaced, they're sitting there somewhere eating, you know, maybe the people covering it. At this point, you know, it could look like we're grasping at straws, you know, because there's a shotgun scattering of stuff here, but,
well, I'm not trying to make each of these fit. I'm just, the things that to me are obvious, you know, for instance, wet, water, black, ripples, dark blue, something coiled up. That's a description of what we're looking at on the bottom of the ocean over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, and the movement and red, I think, goes very well with the explosion. I'm not sure about the restaurant and tables, but again, blues, red, and yellow. Once again, you know, we showed that video of the oil spill, the oil coming up out of the bottom of the ocean through a coiled pipe, and there's a yellow pipe there as well, and the water is blue. Let's see. Now, Kathy in Las Vegas. Spoon-shaped, straight, or perhaps the NASA symbol. I'm not sure. Do you see anything there?
No. However, remember, you're the one with the image. See, so the image that's associated with the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So without me being able to look at that, you would be best able to tell what that particular person got.
I'm not sure that I see a spoon shape. Let's see if I can I'm gonna try to put this oil spill up here where people can see it, and well, that didn't work. Let's try it again. Okay. And that's not the oil spill. Well, you know, when I'm doing things that I haven't planned to do, that's when I get in trouble here. Okay, there we go. Now we've got the oil spill up, and people can see it. But, you know, I don't see anything that's spoon-shaped, although I think it's interesting now. You've got things associated with food. Mary got things associated with food. Mm-hmm. Kathy gets a spoon shape. Mm-hmm. And the next one is Karen from Colorado sees a teacup and a teapot with steam swirling up out of the teapot. Mm-hmm. Again, associated with food, with eating. I, you know, there's something there that we're not aware of, and that's all I could say about it. There's something related to this BP oil spill that seems to be throwing off vibes about food and about eating. Now, the steam swirling, that could be, you know, this stuff coming out of the crude oil coming up out of these pipes, because it's coming up, you know, like steam comes up out of a teapot. And then Stewart in Illinois, a broken coffee mug and spillage. I thought that was really interesting. Spillage on the floor.
Very much, yeah.
What do you think the connection, if there is a connection, what do you think the connection could be between this BP oil spill and all this stuff about food? See, this is surprising to me. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 7 that refer to something to do with food.
Well, how much of the seafood industry relies on the Gulf, and how will this oil affect that? I don't know. I'm putting the question out there. That's what comes to my mind is, are we making an association because maybe we're going to see that'll be the next thing? Or...
Yeah, I hate to do it. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in the second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here, and you have my deep and abiding sympathy for whatever it is that caused you to miss that first hour. Walter, I got some responses to the remote viewing sort of exercise we did. I got some responses in flash mail from around the world. I want to present those. Paul from Australia says that he gets strands of DNA. It's DNA. And then Nick from Thailand. Hey, Kevin, I tell you, when you first came on with the show and were doing this remote viewing thing, and when I heard Walter talk about what he was seeing, in my head I was thinking about the colors of an oil spill and a drill, but I was just guessing. Pretty interesting. Okay, well, you know, when you take a look at that oil spill, and you look at, I mean, there, it's sort of swirling. Well, let me just get it up here where everybody can see it. It's sort of swirling like a like DNA. Well, not really. but you got two streams there. However, it is affecting DNA of every living thing there. And that's a fact. So
I would like to interject here that this is where, and you know, hey, I admit, I, as I said earlier, my way of doing it is kind of an initial short one sheet thing, but this is where the argument comes in to do the more lengthy protocol, because where I stop is where, you know, the more lengthy protocol really has just begun. And if you carry out all the steps, you flesh out more detail, you flesh out a different conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was way off on my conclusion here, but if you'll notice, in my initial reading, my initial exposure to the target, I was, as you have noted, I was picking up definite aspects of what the target was. And this is where I said that if I want to, you know, really, for me, if I want to flesh out that target, I just keep repeating the little short protocol I do over and over again. And yeah, admittedly, I can see where it would take me longer than, you know, your remote viewer who's more adherent to the longer protocols and a team of remote viewers. You know, so it, again, it just comes down to, you know, the individual and how they want to do it or how they do it.
Okay, well, I picked the BP oil spill for a couple of reasons. One is it's huge news, and I don't think there's anyone that is not aware of it, and I certainly don't think there's anyone that is not aware that this is beyond serious. I mean, if they don't get this thing under control and get it capped, and do so pretty soon, real soon, it has the possibility of being an ocean killer. It could, if left unchecked, become an extinction level event. If you kill the oceans, you've killed the humans. It's that simple. Because the food chain is so intricately entwined with the ocean. And if you kill the oceans, you've killed the planet. So this is not a little thing. This is a big thing. There's a news report that's out on the internet, and I've gotten a lot of people sending it to me. And it's written by someone goes under the name of Sorsha Fall, which Sorsha Fall has not proven to be a reliable source. Except on very rare occasions, Sorsha Fall does get something right. And you just never, ever know when you read one of those Sorsha Fall articles. How accurate is it? And I always, because there are more times when it isn't accurate than times when it is, I assume before I read one of these articles that it is inaccurate. Perhaps I shouldn't, but I do. And this report that's out there says that there is a report floating around the Kremlin that the oil rig, this BP oil spill, this oil rig was attacked and taken down, caused to explode, by a mini-sub, and that it was a North Korean mini-sub, and the reason for the target is that the principal financing for this rig is a South Korean heavy equipment company. I find that very, very difficult to buy, but I want to ask you, is it possible for a submarine to get that close to the United States and for us to not detect it or know it?
I'm in your camp. I sincerely doubt that If it were a submarine, it did not come from North Korea. I really can't see North Korea taking their conflict with South Korea global in that regard. If it were a submarine, indeed, if any of this story, you know, had any accuracy to it, it would be from someplace a little closer, and you know, the speculation would go wild. You know, I don't believe that a submarine could operate in the Gulf of Mexico without us knowing it. I think we would know it. Now, is that to say that it was known and you know, kept a secret about this? Possibly. I mean, you know, anything's possible. But I don't know. To me, that sounds like somebody's taking advantage of the situation to get a rumor going out there. I think in the end, you're going to find that, you know, BP got sloppy on this particular rig, and it was a malfunction. And you're going to, you know, probably see a change in whatever particular, however you can describe their operation. You know, we'll probably see a change for everybody now in that particular kind of oil drilling.
Well, I did a show on this, and I said then, and I say now, that I don't care if you're going to punch a hole in the ground across the street from me or at 5,000 feet under the ocean. I don't think you ought to have a license to punch a hole unless you have demonstrated that you have the capability of capping that hole.
Right.
And I think what we have seen for the past, 36, 37 days, is they do not have the capability of capping that hole. But I'm going to go a step further. Now, you're a military guy. I'm not. But I am very, very loyal to my country. Having said that, what idiots in Washington, what idiots are giving people licenses to punch holes when our own Navy, according to them, according to Washington, does not have the capability to handle that and cap that hole?
Now, because of the interference that I'm hearing, I didn't catch all of that. You're saying that our Navy does not have the capability to plug the hole?
That's exactly what Washington, D.C. is saying. They're saying that's why they're letting BP handle it, because we don't have the expertise to do it.
Well, you know, the United States Navy, and no nation's Navy is in the business of plugging oil holes, you know, in the bottom of the ocean floor. However, that said, you and I both know, and anybody around the military knows, that, you know, they certainly have the material and items that you know, could be used, you know, in some type of pinch.
I'd say we're in a pinch. I would say we're in a pinch.
Oh yeah, we are in a pinch, and we, you know, this is something I would argue that this is something that should have been thought of a long time ago, and maybe it was, and maybe because, you know, our Navy doesn't know how to, you know, plug this. Because, again, in all fairness, they're not in the business of doing that. The guys who are in the business of punching the holes should be the guys who are able, as you said, to cap them. And this is, you know, I'm a free market enterprise. I'm a capitalist guy. I believe in drilling for oil, and I'm not going to back down from that just because of this disaster. But, you know what, if you're going to be in the business of getting the oil, yeah, one of the first things you should have been able to do was know how to plug these holes up. And this is really not looking good for, you know, the cause here. And it does, I think, because of the debate about offshore drilling, that's what raises the question, was this some sort of sabotage? Indeed, that is a valid question to ask in this political air, because, you know, we've got the whole energy issue here. The country is divided. You know, you have leadership that, let's just, basically their position is, you know, they're not thrilled with the oil and petroleum-based fuels to begin with. But then you've got, you know, an economy that, you know, thrives on it, and the world uses the stuff. You know, everything's divided, so it's controversial. So when anything's controversial, it gets everybody spun up, emotions run high, and it's not inconceivable that somebody said, well, we'll show them how dangerous this is. And it's not inconceivable that the people that are anti-oil are the ones who, you know, might have caused it. I am speculating here on who, you know.
Well, that might be the case. I would have a hard time thinking that people who are anti-oil would do it because they are anti-oil simply because they are very pro-environment. And I cannot imagine that they, in order to make a point, would destroy so much of the environment. But there are eco-terrorists.
Exactly. As I was going to say, the world's full of extremists who will go do something that actually goes contrary to what they ostensibly and apparently believe in. You know, the world's full of extremists, and that's, in fact, that's the signs of our time, is, you know, the extremists that are just, you know, they go nuts, and in their methods, they do the extremes. So, yeah, all I'm saying is I personally think we're going to find out that it was a serious malfunction and negligence on the part of BP where that rig is concerned, but I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't shock me if we were to come out and learn that it was some type of sabotage.
It might be. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hi. It's Crystal from BC.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Walter. Yeah, I'm just back to the remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
I did do it, but I didn't phone in because I wrote the numbers wrong. I wrote 6712. And that's all I got.
Yeah.
But I did target it. I got the oil. I wrote down oil pump, orange, and gusher. But there's something kind of more interesting before that, what I saw, what other people phoned in about, was a spiral. The first thing I saw was ice, water, cap, evergreen trees, cold, desolate winter, a polar bear, and this big spiral. And I thought, oh, it's the big, what was that, Norway spiral?
Mm-hmm.
So I got like that Norway spiral first, and then all of a sudden it just changed to an oil rig. But I find it interesting that so many people got a spiral, whether it was steam.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I'm just wondering if there's some kind of correlation between that Norway spiral and the oil spill.
Well, we also had a flash message where, I think it was Paul. Let me see. Yeah, Paul in Australia. He sees strands of DNA. That's a spiral as well.
Yeah, I definitely saw like that Norway spiral.
Mm.
It was like ice cold up north, and that was my first impression. Oh, it's the Norway spiral. Then all of a sudden, it flashed in front of my mind was the oil rig, the color orange, and a gusher. But when you read the numbers out again, I wrote down 6712. Those are the numbers I caught. So, but anyway, yeah, I think if anything, so many people have seen a spiral, I think there may be something there, too.
Well, there may be. There just may be. Crystal, thank you for the call.
Okay.
What do you think about the spiral aspect?
Well, you know, maybe that's the coiling thing I got was something to do with the spiral, and maybe we're getting some aspect of, you know, a water spout or a whirlpool, you know, kind of effect.
Mm-hmm.
Could be that we're getting that, because the spiral, the Norway spiral, was blue, and if she's thinking, like me coming to the conclusion of coffee and food, and her coming to the conclusion of Norway spiral, this is what remote viewers usually put in what's called analytical overlay. And that is when you start coming to conclusions before you really should. You usually put that in a column over to the right that's analytical overlay. Now, that doesn't mean that your AOL, it's called, is never accurate. Sometimes major facts, a major element of your target ends up in the AOL thing, because you're not quite sure at that point, so you throw it over there. The whole idea of the remote viewing is you're supposed to objectively pick up the aspects of whatever the target is and flesh them out through a protocol. And then you do, in the full protocol, you do, and when I do a full analysis, you do, it's much lengthier, and what you do is you write those things down objectively, and then you write one down that, you know, things that it could be, and then you write it down, and you basically take a guess. You go, this is what my gut's telling me that this might be, and then somewhere in there is usually, you know, what it is. It's a very interesting process that's easier to describe to someone once they've really read about it or done it themselves.
All right, back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Karen in Colorado again.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, Walter.
Hey.
I just had, you know, I was, actually he just addressed exactly what I was calling back in, because what happened with mine is, you know, I saw that spout and that steam first, and then I extrapolated that mentally, maturely, and I guess it's what you just described, Walter, as taking that beyond what it was supposed to be. And I just wanted to say, yeah, that's the issue I have in working with this, and obviously it needs more work. But, and the other comment I wanted to make more in regards to the oil spill is someone I thought had a really good point. Keep calling it a spill like it's a glass of milk tipped over on a table, and I think that word needs to be changed.
This is an absolute gusher. It's not a spill, it's a gusher.
And that just, I think that just shapes, you know, the mind in a way that is not giving the impact that everyone needs to feel from this. So thanks for taking my comments.
All right, thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599, and we'll be glad to take your call. Now, what we're talking about here tonight, although the oil gusher, the BP oil gusher in the Gulf, is the target, what we're really dealing with here is remote viewing the target, you see. And sort of using this very real experience, this very real event, as a living example, living target, so that we can see how this remote viewing works. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
François again. I call you back shortly to tell you that I did a little research on the BP logo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an 18 pointed star or flower, sun, whatever it is.
18 points, and you said, and you told us it was 12 or more. So, yeah. Well, cool. You sounds like you hit it.
Yep.
All right, Francois. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Kevin, I forgot the BP symbol did change. I was thinking of its old one that looked like a shield or a badge. I forgot they've kind of changed to that sunburst flower-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Mary.
Hello.
From Illinois.
Hello, Mary from Illinois.
And I'm calling back in because I was listening here on this, and when you came up with the BP oil spill, I looked up on the Google pictures, and the odd thing was that the recovery crews, the crews trying to stop this and clean up the spill, are all dressed in blue, yellows, and reds.
There you go.
I kept seeing these bright colors, and I actually wanted to say McDonald's, but I didn't want to associate McDonald's if I didn't see anything specific to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I did the overlay thing and put in that restaurant bit to my own images. But I was quite surprised when I saw there wasn't anyone dressed in any other colors.
Okay.
Recovery.
Fantastic. Thanks for the call.
All right. Well, great show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, so you see, the way this works, folks, everybody gets a little piece of the puzzle. And in these professional remote viewing groups, what they do, they have a group of people that remote view something, and then and they may do many sessions, and then put all the pieces together to see what do they have. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is John from Mesa. How you doing tonight?
Good, John. How are you?
Doing well. I had a well. Let me tell you what I found. I did some research on oil spills in the Gulf, and it happens that on June 13th, 1979, they had another one. Same oil company, maybe parent subsidiaries. That kind of thing, very similar. It ran for 9 months before they put it out, but they tried all the same things with the same results. And you might have Walter, when he has time, see if there's any correlation and maybe get back to that that issue we were talking about earlier, maybe the sub, the maybe some alternate agendas that might be out there.
Okay, that'll be up to Walter, but Walter, if you have time, we'd certainly be glad to have you back on the air to tell us about that.
I again, I want to make sure I heard everything correctly. That was to RV those speculations or the possibilities?
Just to do some more RVing and see if you see any alternative reasons that this might have happened as opposed to just an accident. We have to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Walter Bosley. Walter, let's go straight to the telephone line. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I have some information for you that will confirm some of Walter's observations and call into question BP a little bit, not much.
Okay.
The BP logo, sign, what have you, has a green background, bright green background with that bright yellow star, sunburst type thing, and the letters on it are white, almost silver. So there's your colors.
Well, there you go.
Now, if I heard this correctly the other day, one of the major things that caused this thing, possibly, is that when they were setting their pipes or whatever, the last phase of it, they usually lay the cement and let it set for about 6 hours before they remove the mud. On this particular drill, they did it opposite. They removed the mud before they put in the cement, so it didn't have a chance to set.
Well, I don't know anything about how you go about drilling deep water wells, but if the procedure is to leave the mud in and then do the cement, and after it sets for 6 hours, remove the mud, if that's the normal procedure, and they didn't follow it, that was stupid.
Yeah. That's my thought.
Yeah. Okay, Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep, goodbye.
All right. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. First name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Sorry, I missed the first part of the show at the remote viewing, but assuming this top fill doesn't work, like what ideas do you guys have for this? I was curious. Now, why haven't they tried just putting something really large and really heavy over the top of it? Does that result in springing leaks in other areas or something?
Well, first, we're really not doing a show about the BP oil spill. We're doing a show about remote viewing. However, they did try that, and it didn't work. So they tried putting a 10-ton concrete box over the top of it, and it didn't work. So, all right. Thanks for the call, Ryan. 623-444-5889. Or 888-223-4599. And, you know, the BP oil gusher, Walter, I thought was a perfect target, and I still think so, because it is something that we all are aware of, and all of us have enough details about it so that we could tell whether these remote viewers were getting any part of it right. And actually, most people got part of it right. And I find that to be very interesting. But you got the colors right, and the really interesting thing to me was when you said you saw something coiled. Because as our viewers have seen, the video of what's happening down there on the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico shows a coil of pipe that's broken and the oil's just gushing out of it. Mm-hmm. Walter, how valuable is remote viewing? Or is it valuable at all?
Is it what at all?
Valuable.
Yes, it has been valuable for me, I think enough for those who, you know, have done it. There's two aspects to this. There is the outside, the personal, and then there's the personal. My remote viewing has been amazing on the personal level. When I started doing it in the summer of 2007, it really opened me up to things that are some of the most extraordinary things I've learned and experiences I've had in my life. And we're talking, you know, since my teen years, a lifetime full of strange and amazing experiences. The last almost 3 years now since I started remote viewing, in some cases, you know, the listeners are going to learn soon, like when my new book comes out, I came across the information in that. I was led to that because of the remote viewing. And there's actually two books, and if you count the novel that I wrote from it, just to get all the data that was just like a burst transmission downloading into my head from the ether, we're talking three books out of this, plus a different point of view. You know, I've been talking with you the last few years, and you know, people have heard me elsewhere and stuff, and I'm, because of these things that have been a product that kick-started with remote viewing, I'm in a way, it's kind of changed. It has changed what my interests are. It has changed what my focus is. It's changed my perspective on some things, and that are just now starting to come to the surface in a more public way. But it's something that on the personal level has great value, because it can open up, it can give you the answers to questions and mysteries about yourself on many levels. It can open you up to things in your local environment that you never saw before, and you never saw accurately. But it can also be used in the big picture to do things that would benefit, you know, society as a whole. Now, you're always going to have the majority of people or a big chunk of society that's going to just not be interested, and they're going to say, eh, this is nothing. But these are the people that aren't interested in these things anyway. These are the people that, you know, they help populate the world just like we do, and their view is different. But it doesn't mean that the products of this stuff and things like it aren't benefiting them and aren't touching their world. You just got to kind of, you know, learn to who to try to convince and who to just not bother. I actually, the more I learn about things, I feel, the less I really feel the need to convince a bunch of people.
No, you know? Most definitely. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, my name is Zenith. I'm calling from British Columbia. The spiral thing that I believe Crystal and one or two of the other people remote viewed, right?
One person remote viewed a spiral like the Norway spiral.
Right. Now, yeah, I'm thinking about a connection there. I'm thinking back to possibly one of your last shows, or maybe something I've read on and saw on the internet. There's a lot of speculation that the Norway spiral is also connected to HARP. Those spirals have been spotted around other HARP installations.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking if there isn't some sort of a connection between that and the whole oil gusher thing and the rest of it. I mean, anything's possible.
So you think maybe there's a connection between HARP and this oil gusher in the Gulf?
It's a possibility is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thinking there's a connection, but there's a possibility. It's possible that they've disrupted, you know, the HARP thing. If they're doing what we suspect they might be doing, is altering weather and doing all the different things that they're doing, it's possible they caused the ground to move there or something like that that created this problem. I'm just speculating, okay? I'm not.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Do you know who Mitch Batros is?
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you.
Okay. Do you know who Mitch Batros is?
No, I don't.
Well, Mitch Batros puts out a newsletter called Earth Changes. And Mitch is usually right on target with his stuff. And he's put out a newsletter saying that the ocean floor, right there where that oil gusher is collapsing. So, you know, it's, again, I'm not speculating either, but what you said is entirely in keeping with what we suspect about HARP, or what a lot of people suspect about HARP, that it might have the power to do those kind of earth changes, and maybe it's an unintended consequence of it. But I have to be honest with you, Zenith, I really doubt that, because if HARP was transmitting at that time, there are people that monitor it all over the world, and every time it comes on, they know it. And there are websites that track the use of HARP. And I haven't heard anything out there about HARP even being on at that time. So I really kind of doubt that it's HARP. But like you said, anything's possible. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, Kevin, I have another possibility that just came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, when the caller talked about the ground moving, I realize now, wait a minute here, we might be on to something. I want you to think back. Now, this problem with this oil rig started, it happened, the explosion was about a month ago, right?
It happened on April 20th.
Okay, now my question is this. How close in time was the big Chilean earthquake that hit that moved the earth in its axis 3 inches?
I don't know.
I'm wondering if the juxtaposition of that massive earthquake that actually moved the earth in its axis or its rotation, whatever it was, the 3 inches, you recall when that they announced that happened.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's possible that that might have knocked something out of whack. It's a possibility. It's a pure speculation, but it did come to mind.
I don't know.
And I'm sure I'm sure that the minute I say that now, you know, it'll be discussed 20 other places, and we'll get a full analysis over the next 60 days.
Oh, yeah. I know which show it'll be on. I know which show it's going to be on.
What's that?
I know which show it will be on.
Oh, yes, we both know. We all do know. I give it 48 hours, and one of their gizmo wizards will call in and have a vision. But
well,
seriously, I'm going to look at the date of that, if anyone can pop up with the date of the Chilean earthquake, specifically the one that apparently moved the Earth and its axis 3 inches, the date of that and how close it was to the date of the initial event that caused the oil spill. It'd be a fun exercise.
Yeah, well, now the initial date and time of the oil disaster is April the 20th at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay.
Okay. And yeah, if somebody wants to jump over to the USGS website and take a look at the Chilean earthquake, what was its date and time and magnitude, that might be interesting. We have to step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Walter Bosley this evening, and Walter has been sort of carrying us through how you do remote viewing on these things. And I'll tell you, Walter, I was pretty impressed with the remote viewing experiment that we did right at the beginning. And invited remote viewers in the audience to call us. First of all, I was impressed because I didn't give anybody a warning, and I didn't give them much time. And yet, they got a lot of the elements involved in the in this oil spill.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I was just saying, yeah, it when you take that first... you know, exposure to it, you know, the data comes through. I mean, it definitely comes through, and the reason you have the protocol is to, you know, funnel that data appropriately and, you know, to get the proper analysis, you know, on the data. That's what's key, because you could see how wildly off I was on my analysis in spite of, you know, being pretty decent on the data, so.
Okay, now... that brings up an important point, and that is that the data is the data, and the analysis is the analysis, and in a way, they are completely separate. They're not separate, but in a way, they are. The data is what it is, and then the analysis is where people try to put the data together like the pieces of a puzzle, and that's... I would think where you would have the greatest possibility for error would be in the analysis.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if we had been given simply map coordinates,
mm-hmm.
And we'll even say that these coordinates were given to us in this exact same format, 4 digits slash and 4 digits. That's not a very precise map coordinate, but it's close enough.
Mm-hmm.
But a 4x4, that gets you in the area. So if we'd just been given map coordinates and neither one of us knew anything about what this was, how would we go about... I mean, I knew that this was the BP oil spill because I am the one that picked it out. But how would we go about doing the analysis to put it together where we would come up with the accurate picture?
For instance, if the target were just as blind to you as it were to the viewer, for instance, let's say it's a map coordinate. Well, the obvious thing is you'd send somebody out there to that coordinate to see if the viewer is getting it right, to go actually look for the feature that matches what the viewer or viewers have, received. And this can be done, on the mundane level, just physically going out there yourself, getting in the car and going. On the, intelligence agency level, of course, they could fly a satellite over and take a picture, and of course there's every other option in between, but nothing like boots on the ground. That's how you would do one that was, say, a map coordinate. Or you're reading an object and you know a general area and you're trying to pinpoint that object, you kind of just do a big sweep in the general area until you find the object. The problem with that is, the viewers are getting something specific, and if the object itself is an object that could be found in many places, then you got to go a little deeper and to get more specific data to help you pinpoint the exact target you're looking for. So it's, the team concept has, there's a reason that it's done in a team concept.
Are you more confident of the results that come from a team that you work on than you are just remote viewing that you do by yourself?
Yeah, in a way, yeah, because of course, the classic two heads are better than one, and stuff. Four can be better than one as well. You get more people. Now, where I have differed is when we all get into our conclusions and analysis. I was given a target one time that, several other people, related to something extraterrestrial, and I very, very strongly got nothing related to anything extraterrestrial. I didn't get that at all. But we all got the similar or the same aspects of what the object was. And so that's where an objective person associated with the team comes in and says, okay, enough with your analytical overlay. Now we're going to look at what you all got that was similar, and we're going to try to, find this thing or come to some logical, accurate conclusion. So, but again, even though all that said, all of you as remote viewers have to trust the other team members that are doing it in a group that, you all kind of have gone through the same thing, and there's a certain competence level because, people are at different competence levels sometimes, with stuff like this, unless it's a seriously organized kind of group. You got people who say, yeah, I do this, and they don't, and that can kind of put either useless data in there, which can really screw things up, or, it can be put into skew. Any number of things that you could think of.
I think the remote viewing exercise that you referred to, where you didn't get anything extraterrestrial coming through and some others did, if I'm not mistaken, this is something that you and your team that you work with were doing for this show. And I think it was the Gulf of Aden.
The what?
Gulf of Aden.
Oh no! This was another target.
Okay.
A separate issue that I was referring to, but you're right there. I also got something that was, good call, Kevin. I was thinking of another object in another time, and you brought up a time when, the kind of the same thing happened. Several folks said something ET, and I was like, nope. No way. Maybe I'm just the fuddy-duddy on the ET hypothesis these days. I don't know.
Well, you see what you see. And, you can't pretend you saw something you didn't see.
Right.
And,
exactly.
That's the way it goes. Walter, we're almost out of time for tonight's show. Mm-hmm. And, look, man, I appreciate you being willing to put up with us doing this on-air experiment tonight. It's been a blast. I didn't know how this was going to turn out, but it's been a blast. It really has. I was a little worried when you started talking about food, but then when you started describing it, I knew that you had seen the right stuff, but for some reason the oil spill looked like food to you. Mm-hmm. But you got the right elements in there. And but I'll tell you, it's still curious to me that out of 7 remote viewers, we had 5 that saw things related to food.
Mm-hmm.
That's curious. I will have to cogitate upon that. If you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've run out of time for tonight, and I want to thank everybody who participated. If you called in as a remote viewer, or if you just called in with a question or comment, thank you. I appreciate your participation. For those of you who sent me flash messages tonight and participated in the remote viewing, thank you so much. You know, you are what makes the show. And sometimes I say that and people think it's just a cliche. It isn't. And as you've seen tonight, you make the show. This is the show where you matter. Don't forget, the K-Files will start being distributed tonight immediately after the show. So you still have time, not much, but you still have a minute or two to go to kevinsmithshow.com and click where it says K-Files. And after you click where it says K-Files, you can subscribe. It's free. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's been a blast all week long. I want to thank you for being here. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.